Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Journalism Matters. This week, Press Gazette's John Reynolds is talking to the editor of the London Evening Standard, Sarah Sands.
We have our morning conference at 8. And
what time do you get in then, usually?
I'm in just before 7.
Okay.
So until sort of 11:30, you know, you don't think of anything else but that day's paper. Mm-hmm. So, you're also, of course, commissioning ideas for the next day and so on. But basically, that's what you need to think about. And it's always that tension for us of being, you know, the best we can possibly be within the space and the time. So you're both saying, wait for the, you know, there's one more picture coming, there's a sort of better line, we've just got this quote through, we've got to go, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's, because you're sort of producing, you know, what you hope is a... it's just a really good, sort of exciting package that feels absolutely alive, and then and of the day, you know. So nothing can ever look sort of everything's so fast, you know. So sometimes people think when they're writing for the Evening Standard, you know, they'll suggest a subject, and I think, you know, it's fine. It just doesn't feel up to speed, you know. That you've got to be first with the idea, the first with the story, first with the joke, the first with the headline.
But that'd be no different to your time at the Mail and the Telegraph, would it, or is it? Or
there's something about an evening paper, because you are that day, you know. So remember, we do this, and then I go out and I'll pick up a paper. Actually, the, you know, first paper's arriving. I went to see the van drivers yesterday. You know, they're belting out. So they're, you know, they're all lined up, ready for the papers, and then so the, you know, the first arrival, so at 1:30. So you can so everything has to be at top speed. You know, there's just can't be any slack in the whole operation. I think, you know, it's funny, people always used to say, there was a time when people said, oh, so this economic model, you know, how can it work? And now people just go, just explain it to me logistically, you know, 900,000 copies within 4 hours, you know, distributed across London. It's a, you know, it's a hell of an operation.
Yeah.
And it does mean actually that you do feel very tightly bound to, you know, the vendors and the van drivers, because no one can slack. Actually, it's interesting about the vendors that they, you know, have to have the papers folded and ready to give to people, because no one wants to stop for a second. You know, that no one's prepared just to sort of go and look for anything. Everything's got to be there. So the whole process from us producing it to it being out on the streets, you know, you can't. You miss 5 minutes, you know. And we'll, if we're late by 5 minutes, you will see that effect on, you know, on the on the distribution process.
Okay.
So the morning is, I would say, pure concentration on the newspaper. Then in the afternoon, that's the, you know, totally different thing and equally interesting. So that's when you're starting to get in all your ideas. I meet as many people as I can. I see, you know, so it's a pretty, so the diary is, you know, totally packed.
Meeting people internally or externally?
Externally, most, you know, a lot of, I mean, internally obviously.
Who do you meet? MPs, do you meet, who do you meet?
Yeah, MPs or people involved in London institutions or, you know, arts or, you know, all parts of London. So it's a, you know, we have to be the pulse of London, that's our job. So it's to sort of, to really get a sense of what's going on. So I feel that's my job, to sort of know, you know, what the big things are happening. Also, it's the job of everyone here you know, to go out and observe, you know. So I do think that's another mm-hmm. difference, that there's no distance between us and the people we're writing about, and that, you know, I need to know, I need those reporters out and feature writers out, you know, going to restaurants. I need them partying, I need them meeting people,
because
that's your currency. You know, we have to be London. And I think that the success of the Standard, you know, has largely rested on this bond. You know, what I love is when people say they feel that the Evening Standard is part of their working day, that if you're a Londoner, you have to have the Evening Standard, that, you know, at dinner parties you're discussing what you read in the Standard. So it's absolutely integral. And so it has to be up to us to, you know, we have to know what's going on.
Can I ask, without being cheap, I mean, how many times have you met Zach Goldsmith and Sadiq Khan this year? I mean, you'll have. Have you been out for dinner with them or not?
Well, I interviewed them both last week.
Okay.
So that was,
you
know, you see them in different sort of contexts. Sadiq's been more visible, you know, so actually he's been at more events that I've been to.
You have come out in support of Zach or not?
No. We've been very, very scrupulous about equal coverage, you know, that even to the point of, you know, if I see one picture that's bigger than the other, I'll sit, you know, try and square them off or say, okay, we gave him some. So on the interviews, you know, we gave Zach a spread, so then we give Sadiq a spread. And what I said to both their sides is just prove your case. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the end, we're a newspaper, so come to us with your stories, come to us with your, and we'll treat it journalistically, really.
So you won't have a stand on it at any point then? You won't do
well, we'll see. And the hustings is later this week. We're sort of, I think we can keep going, weighing it all up. You know, it may well become apparent in the next week or so that, you know, our view is what we think is best for London. So the hustings will test them both pretty hard. You know, maybe that suddenly one, it feels a bit of an epiphany that, you know, that one is, we think, will suit London better. You know, they're pretty evenly matched. At the moment, there's no need for us to take a stand yet. But I think it will feel right if and when we do.
But you mentioned your children are all grown up now. Would you, if they were of a teenage age, would you recommend them getting into journalism? I mean, you're obviously someone who's been successful and made a lot of money out of it. But for a lot of people, I guess me included, there's not much money in it, is there, basically, unless you're at the top level.
No, I think it is really hard. You know, I think if you really, really want to do it, it's still the most fun, the most interesting. I can't think of a more interesting thing, you know, of anything else I would prefer to do. It is extremely tough. And actually, you know, one of my children did think at one point, wouldn't sports journalism be great? And then went off to be a management consultant.
And then proper money, yeah.
Because, and there's a slight thing of me, you know, saying, look, you can be a journalist, but, you know, that I just can't, well, I can't do the economics for you. So then that's a decision for people, that do you want to just go out there, do it, and hope that, you know, I think on the whole still, you know, the best will rise, and, you know, that there are, you know, there are jobs, there are a lot of jobs online. You know, it's earning a living is very, very hard.
The Press Awards was a big thing. I think you came out, there was a depth of women on the shortlist. Do you think, invariably, I mean, you talked about your hours, working on a newspaper like the Standard or National Newspaper, the long, long hours, and it still lends itself more to, less to women working those hours than men or not? I mean,
but men have children too. I mean, the big difference for me, I think, it's not being women, it's having grown-up children. So I, you know, having seen everyone in the afternoon, I'm then out in the evening. So after I've gone to have this meeting, I will then go out to two or three things this evening. And, you know, I like doing all that. But so my day is from, you know, first thing until the late evening. So I can see if I had children at home, that's something you factor in, but you know, it's men as well. So I think you slightly, you know, phase your career a bit. And I, you know, have noticed men doing that much more, of thinking, actually, for this bit, I don't want to do that aspect, or I'll choose a kind of job that, you know, actually the desk jobs in a way are very good for that, you know, because at least they're consistent.
Yeah.
And for the Standard, funnily enough, they're brilliant because you're in very early, but then you're off. You know.
Sure. Sure.
So actually, they're quite family friendly. It's whether you want to do the evening as well, or do all the you know, the travelling and all that sort of thing.
But do you think
so? I think it's an individual thing rather than a male female.
So read the Independent. That's obviously online only now. A brazen question: have you had any assurances from the Lebedevs that it's not going to sell the Evening Standard then? Or?
They won't sell the Evening Standard. They were, you know, it's.
Well, how do you know that? You've had assurances from it. I mean, people didn't think they were going to sell the Eye, did they, or not? I don't know. But what's the difference then? Why?
Well, the Evening Standard is an absolutely secure, money-making newspaper that has proved very successful, and that has a huge circulation, has tremendous presence and influence, and represents and as a brand to be able to speak for London, you know. So the sort of the power of the brand, the value of that, plus the fact it makes money, means that there'd be no reason to.
Okay, so you've had.
I can't speak for the Lebedevs.
But you've had an assurance that, I mean, you're confident, so you must have had some sort of assurance that they're not going to sell that. I mean,
I'm confident that the Lebedevs have been very supportive towards the Evening Standard, and personally, I think the paper's very secure.
Okay. So, I mean, a lot of other newspaper journalists always joke that Evgeny Lebedev is always features in the magazine quite a lot, doesn't he? Have you?
Well, he did. The reason
is that,
he was
is
in
that
the
an issue? Well,
no,
it is, isn't it?
The magazine he was involved in, I think, was a theatre. He's involved in the Theatre Awards. He is a you know, he is a Londoner who has an interesting life and is part of London arts, you know, particularly. He presides over the Theatre Awards. So when we do a Theatre Awards magazine, you can't sort of ignore that he's the host and he choreographed it. So, of course, he's involved. And he's involved in the campaign. So, again, that's his. But I would think these are all perfectly benign interventions. Okay. You know, why wouldn't you want him involved?
Okay. London Live TV, I think we wrote a story about that this week. I mean, is that, how involved are you with London Live? You don't appear on London Live TV at all, then, do you, or not? Or?
They've got their own team. I mean, I think where it all works in is, I think that the company now has a absolutely cogent purpose and the whole mechanism. So you have a newspaper which is extremely successful, very high circulation, owns London. You have a successful, profitable online operation, independent online, you know, which is global.
Yeah.
And then you have television, which sort of slots it. So it's doing really well. It's nearly breaking even, you know.
What, London Evening Standard TV?
London Live, yeah. And it has a so they, you know, they've it's, you know, it's hard launching a television station, but they've worked through it. And it's also now I sort of see the point. People now often say, "Oh, Hustings, for instance, tomorrow."
Yeah.
You know, some say, "So is it being filmed?" Well, yes, it is by London Live.
Okay.
So actually,
okay.
You know, so the Evening Standard holds an event which is, you know, us at the centre of London in this hugely important moment. You know, just before the mayoral contest, and it's filmed by London Live.
Yeah.
If I newspaper wants to carry a story, you know, from the Evening Standard the following day, it can do that. So it all works now, actually.
Okay. So you've had the estate campaign was a big success for you. Are we going to see more campaigns of a similar ilk this year or not? Or
you don't. I mean, they take a lot of planning. They take 6 months of planning, working out, because you've got to get all the bits in place, because our campaigns are not. They're thought through, and that there's a legacy to them, so it's not something you can just dash off. And they're based on the fundamental principle that you want London to be just. So it's a very, very successful city. If some people are being excluded, that can't be right. So it's looking at that in different ways. So actually, the estates one was a really interesting one, because that was. A city, so that's an estate that people walk past, it's right in the midst of us,
sure.
And yet it's isolated,
sure.
And excluded,
yeah.
In some
yeah.
way. So actually that was a really sort of joyful project, because, you know, there are great people there who could do it themselves. You just needed to engage. Yeah. So that's what it's about. It's sort of social engagement, really.
When were you happiest in your journalistic career? Apart from now, sorry, I knew you were going to say that.
I love this job. I love this paper. I love this team and I love this city. Apart from that, I mean, Sunday journalism is a different challenge, and it's interesting because it's more, you know, you've got more time, obviously, so you're working on stories in a through a different prism in a different way, and it's so that can be interesting. But there's nothing like the sort of speed and the impact of and the adrenaline of the Evening Standard. Just nothing comes near it.
Okay, I mean, there
was... I was happy. Oh, the Daily Telegraph with Charles, when I was with Charles Moore, I was pretty happy.
And there's my editor mentioned that there was rumours, I guess there's always rumours about someone like you moving jobs, about you moving to the, you mentioned Sunday papers, to the Mail on Sunday, as Geordie's number two, or is that pure speculation? Well, you're not going to say it's true anyway, are you?
No, well, I'm very happy here.
Of all the journalists you worked with, who do you think was the best, or who do you have most respect for, or who did you learn most from? That's a good question.
Yes.
Maybe no one.
Different ways. I was very fond of Stuart Steedon, who was a editor at the Evening Standard, who died, but he had a sense of... There were things now, looking back, mm-hmm. that he saw the food revolution in London.
Okay.
It was a long time ago. Obviously, this was like 30 years ago or something. And he always had it. It was a sort of sense of both professionalism, very serious about... the trade, but with mm-hmm. a merriment that went with it. So I always thought he captured the spirit of the Evening Standard.
That's
and Charles Moore.
And Charles obviously. Moore. Okay, I really appreciate it.
No,
thank
not
you very
at all.
Much.
No, thank you so much.
The next Press Gazette Journalism Matters podcast will be available to download in 2 weeks' time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.